please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah ta'ala, we are going to be having a series of discussions regarding the topic of women of Ashura, or Ashura and women. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister.
So, Sister Razia, we were talking about women who played great roles throughout history, especially during the events of Karbala and Ashura and whatever happened afterwards.
Yeah, but we had an incomplete topic last session.
Exactly, and we were talking about more contemporary figures closer to our time, perhaps more relatable. And yeah, we were talking about the wonderful Bintul Huda al-Sadr, the sister of Ayatollah Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. And tell me more about her, aside from the fact that she was an author and whatnot.
I think the secret to her success was her punctuality. I just found this out because I was reading about her that she was the head of several schools, chain schools in Iraq, under the title of Az-Zahra School. Like they have different branches in Basra, in Kufa, Qadamain, Najaf, and Karbala. And she was the head of two of these schools.
For girls,
right. Mm-hmm. And what she specifically tried to do was to incorporate two religious courses in the curriculum of the schools. And for these lessons, for these courses, she also endeavored, she was very sensitive to put very educated Muslim teachers to teach these lessons to the girls.
Right.
And she believed that in the academic agenda of the school, in schools, especially for girls, they will have to learn Islamic education as well.
Mm.
Everything that Shiite Islam has to offer in its teachings. So she made sure that these was happening for all these
right.
girls, implemented, right. And I was reading somewhere that after school finished, she put extra time to educate these teachers, the teachers, to know how to teach, the methods of teaching and the content of teaching. This shows her selfless efforts in trying to achieve the goal that she had in mind. That, it's very good to be up to date, to be educated, to be a knowledgeable woman. But because at that time, a lot of feministic thoughts were going on, that they were trying to despirit the education system from the Islamic teachings.
Mm.
And she made sure that this would not happen. And once the schools were nationalized, and the Al-Zahra schools all went into under the headship of the government, she stopped teaching and she stopped taking any role, although she was invited to take a part. And she said that my mere purpose was to serve God, and after this, their purposes does not suit mine. Mm. And so she refrained and she resigned.
Interesting.
Something that I found was that after Shahid Baqir Sadr, before his martyrdom, he was arrested by the Iraqi government in Najaf. She went to the Haram, to the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and she gave a sermon.
Yeah.
And she made people aware of what was happening, and people in Najaf started to demonstrate. And following that, people in other cities of Iraq started to demonstrate, and the government was forced to free Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, right? And then after following all these demonstrations, people in other countries like Lebanon, Iran, and elsewhere, they also started their demonstrations. They arrested Sayyida Amina and also her beloved brother, and they persecuted them.
Yes.
Right?
Directly by Saddam himself.
Yeah. Earlier, when you said that she was a writer and a poet, I think this was her method of reaching a greater audience.
Mm.
Because her thoughts, her beliefs, her iman, she wanted a means.
That comes to show the importance of platform.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, 1400 years ago, their platforms were very much limited, right? It was either the mosque or certain, I don't know, Quran tafsir classes they could hold in their houses for women, right? But in any case, they exhausted all options, all platforms where they could reach out to their audiences and spread the word of Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I feel that that shows that when it comes, when we move toward further down history toward the age of technology and development and stuff like that, and the platforms naturally change, as Muslims, whether women or men, we really shouldn't shy away from those opportunities. We shouldn't shy away from using it in our own advantage and sort of like using the enemy's tool against them.
Mm-hmm.
We can't say like, oh, but Instagram, Facebook are full of facade and sedition and corruption. Well, don't search that stuff. Do what you have to do.
Exactly.
And whoever is looking for your content will find you.
Exactly. Exactly. If you're good and if you present it in a good way, if you're an expert in your field, you will definitely reach out to a great audience.
Exactly.
And this is for sure.
Mm. We're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back. So don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Here in the studio with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're discussing Ashura'i women and Ashura'in women.
There is one case in my mind whose name is Barak Hussein. I follow her on Instagram. You know her, right?
Yeah,
she's an Iraqi woman.
Yeah.
She's a therapist,
Canada, yeah.
A psychologist in Toronto, Canada. And she really goes out of her way in the demonstrations that they have in Toronto, or like the sessions, the majalis that they have, religious majalis. Everywhere she tries to deliver a lecture, an Islamic lecture, you know, like she's a psychologist, but she views it, she looks at it from an Islamic approach, from an Islamic aspect. And I think she's targeting a large audience, and she's especially targeting one gap in the Muslim community, their psychology, their peace of mind.
Exactly.
That a lot of people,
health.
The mental health of people, that a lot of people shy away from it to go to, you know, to refer to the experts for their problems, or they don't know how to put them, how to, where to go, what to do, how, you know, if there's a solution for it, or they go on living with their sick minds or their sick situations of life for years, and she's doing her best until now. God knows if tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, she would change, but up until now, when I see her and her programs, I see that she's really trying her best. She's putting all her effort to be a Ashurain woman. I see her as one of the instances.
Yeah,
exactly. She's an ordinary woman. I think she's a single mom. I don't know much about her. Yeah, but she's doing her best in the way she's raising her child, her daughter. She has a hijabi daughter in Canada. And the way she posts about how the two of them do the religious practices on the nights of Qadr, on all different Islamic occasions, on stopping oppression, on, you know, showing their hatred from the oppression of their times. She's doing a great job.
Exactly.
So, as you said, Ashura is in our time.
Mm.
It's not so much easier to live in this time. Mm. They say at the end of time, having faith is like keeping a burning charcoal in your hands. How difficult that would be, right? So I think our time is a very, very difficult and demanding time. And if we live to be, we haven't seen the Prophet, we haven't seen the Imam of our time, but we believe in them, we have faith in them. And the Prophet, he's so proud of us because at his own time, people saw him in person and they listened to him and they believed in him.
Mm.
But the Prophet himself said at one point in history, people will come where they have never seen me, they have never heard from me, but they have faith in me. And these are my followers, and I am
so... I think he calls us his brothers.
Exactly.
These are my brothers.
So we were talking about the Sayyidah Amina Sajj, where she used the platform of story writing.
Yep.
And she specifically tried to entail her stories, where she was talking about cosmetics, hijab, women, concerns of women. I have never gotten my hands on any of her pieces of art, but I would love to one day.
Mm. They're mostly short stories, and they're mostly addressed toward young women, teenagers even. And they're interesting. Her writing method is very mellow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I liked it. It was calming. You didn't feel like some certain doctrines and dogmas into your brain and turn you into, you know? I felt like it's something that a normal person could read, relate to, and try to, and be inspired to learn more about something, anything.
I think I really don't know how the educational system in Iraq is running right now, and what is their syllabus and curriculum, and how Islamic they're trying to, you know, how Islamic they try their new generation to become educated.
Mm.
But from what I see from my experience being in Iraq and talking to, I have some Iraqi friends, you know, the Iraqis have a lot of harara for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They have this passion for Imam Hussein. You know, they love him, and they're articulate people. And they truly believe in him with all the dimensions of their being, of all the cells of their body. And you could see that in their hospitality during the time of Arba'in, right? But scholarly way, when you are thinking about feminism and how, you know, you could raise a girl who is not so fond of fashion and this modern lifestyle where it deviates you away from, you know, your main purpose in life, I see that there is a gap. Recently, there has been a lot of progress in the city, in Iraq.
I mean, with Adal, there was Saddam, and then there was America, and I think it's like case closed. Anyway, more on
with us, it was the Pahlavi regime, and then there's 8 years of imposed war, and then the Cold War.
So more on the topic of how we can turn women in Ashura, make it relatable, and turn it into Ashura in women, right? You give us the very interesting, very fitting example of Bintul Huda Asad. And she was a wonderful woman. Her circumstances, maybe not the same as many of the young women who are living today, but in any case, it's more tangible.
Yeah, and the other thing that I found about her life was that she held religious sessions in her own house.
Mm. That's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello to all of our listeners, and let us recite to you a widely recorded saying of the Prophet concerning his Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, whose spotless purity has been vouchsafed by God Almighty in Ayah 33 of Surah Al-Ahzab in the Holy Quran. The stars are a security for the people of the earth against drowning when at sea, while my Ahlul Bayt are a security to the people of earth against discord.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
South Korean medical workers manning drive-through coronavirus testing centers have a new way to cool off and rest amid hot summer days, recovery buses. The medical workers are now able to enjoy their breaks at these buses, which are equipped with air conditioning, cold water, and snacks. The workers are allowed to take off their protective suits that trap heat and create an environment difficult to tolerate. Some of the buses also have shower booths and bunk beds to help the medical workers deal with their hard work. They say the buses are refreshing.
I almost feel like I'm stuck in a heat dome, like in a car with the air conditioner off in the middle of summer. It's so hot that it's even hard to breathe. But when I come here during the break time and rest in a much cooler and more pleasant environment like an igloo, I can recharge and work cheerfully in the afternoon.
These buses were first designed and used as resting places for Korean police officers and firefighters. Now, 22 of them are deployed to testing centers across the country. The government is considering deploying more recovery buses amid rising temperature and a new wave of coronavirus infections.
An aquarium in the French capital, Paris, is celebrating the birth of a baby black-tip shark. The female shark is 55 centimeters long and weighs 560 grams. She's currently quarantined in a small pond so she wouldn't come under attack by adult sharks. Officials at the aquarium say she'll be ready to swim amongst other sharks in 3 to 4 months. She was born last week at the aquarium, an event the caretakers say is very rare.
It's a rare event for us, which hadn't happened here for the past 5 years. The birth is quite rare in aquariums and in captivity in general. In fact, there are often embryos that won't survive, or they're sometimes stillborn. That's what makes it a rare event, which also occurs at night. We had the chance to observe it during the day, which allowed us to intervene very quickly, and we're able to recover the little one.
The International Union for the Conservation of Nature has designated black-tip sharks as a vulnerable species. It's particularly poached in some countries for their distinctive fins. The marvelous creatures have a torpedo-shaped body and often spin out of water while eating. They have specialized cells in their snouts that detect the electric current of nearby prey.
A Turkish farmer hails the miraculous survival of two baby goats from deadly wildfires. Sergeant Bayat said seeing his livestock threatened by flames was the most difficult moment in his life. Bayat said although he lost 8 of his animals in the fire, he found new life after the survival of a newborn goat. He said the mother of the kid had been killed in a wildfire. Bayat called it a miracle. But there was also another baby goat.
We found another goat amidst a wildfire. She has a baby. There you go. Miracle number 2.
Bayat says although his farm was severely damaged, he's now over the moon at the survival of the baby goats. The massive forest fire in southern Turkey broke out on Wednesday, fueled by strong winds. Wildfires are common in southern Turkey in the summer, but local authorities say the latest fires have covered a much bigger area. Last year, a powerful explosion in Beirut turned life around for thousands of Lebanese. Now, a number of people have decided to build a monument in honor of the victims of the terrible accident. 27 individuals and organizations have pulled their efforts to build a giant 25-meter sculpture at a site of last August's explosion. The artwork is called Gesture and is made out of reclaimed metal debris. It looks like it's handing a flower to the city of Beirut. When completed, Gesture will also have a water and light installation. The project was conceived and designed by Nadim Karam, one of Lebanon's most celebrated artists.
notoriously volatile animals, as we all know. One moment, they are purring for your attention, and the next, they can't stand being touched. Now, a Canadian firm has come up with an app that can help you better understand your feline friends. The app is called Tabby and works with artificial intelligence. The AI's algorithm was trained at a clinic in the city of Calgary. The developers of Tabby hope their product can be useful for novice cat owners and vets alike. The app can also help monitor the health of cats. Tabby's developer explains how the app functions.
It uses artificial intelligence, so specifically machine learning, and it's coupled with the feline grimace scale. And what the feline grimace scale is, it's a way for humans to be able to determine if a cat is in pain or not based on the ear positioning, the eye positioning, the muzzle, whiskers, things like that. And so we were able to train a machine using machine learning and a series of images to be able to make that determination. So if you're somebody who has a cat but you don't have that training, you can just use the app and it can help you determine how your cat is doing.
Sounds very useful, but Tabby is not perfect though and runs into problems when trying to decipher the mood of black cats. Despite the hiccups, the developers say the program will get better at doing its task as its artificial intelligence develops through practice. Humans have damaged the environment, perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Known in Cyprus as Birdman, 28-year-old Konstantinos Antonio is a wildlife veterinarian. Every year, he saves hundreds of sick or wounded wild birds. The animals brought to him are usually found by regular people. Konstantinos says climate change has made the task of assisting birds more urgent as their survival becomes harder and harder. The Cypriot environmentalist usually frees the animals after treatment in the presence of other people in order to raise awareness about the issue. A vertical forest has transformed the Chinese megacity of Chengdu into a concrete jungle, making the lives of the residents greener. Each unit at the 8-tower complex has a balcony with around 20 types of luxuriant plants and greenery. The green space filters air and noise pollution while creating a spectacular view. The project in the southwestern city was completed in 2018, and all of the 826 apartments were sold out at the time.
I think it's quite good. The air quality is pretty good and much better than my old houses. The air is good when you wake up in the morning, and the green trees are good for us elderly people. They are good for our eyes.
Besides all the benefits, the apartments have a major problem. They have been overrun by plants and invaded by mosquitoes. The issue has forced some of the occupants to move out. Other cities around the world, such as New York and Copenhagen, have also launched similar green housing projects.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The best visited multimedia exhibit and the world known as Van Gogh Live. The experience has opened in Munich after being postponed a number of times due to COVID-19.
Van Gogh is just the most famous artist in the world. He is also a prototype artist. He is the last artist who then tragically dies at the end. His life story was just fascinating, and that's why he is Van Gogh. And of course, his artworks are fascinating.
Featuring some of Van Gogh's best-known works, the exhibition is not only a feast for the eyes, but the senses with music and smells to accompany the colorful projections. The exhibit is supposed to smell like the countryside because of where Van Gogh lived. However, the organizers say visitors cannot really experience the feeling due to wearing masks. Van Gogh Alive, the experience was first presented in Singapore in 2011. Since then, the multimedia exhibit has been seen in 70 cities and has attracted some 6 million visitors. Conservation measures have managed to bring the world's most endangered cat back from the brink of extinction. In 2002, there were less than 100 Iberian lynx left in the wild. The situation prompted officials in Spain and Portugal to save the animal through a captive breeding program. They also tried hard to fight poaching and reintroduce rabbits, the cat's major prey, into the wild. By the end of 2020, there were over 1,100 Iberian lynx living in the two countries, most of them in Spain's southern region of Andalusia.
The main cause of death for wildlife, certainly in the natural environment, is related to human activities, roadkill, poaching, unwanted encounters. So the less interaction they have with humans, the better.
Despite the successful measures, the International Union for Conservation of Nature still lists the animal as endangered. It's estimated that the species will be out of danger only when its population surpasses 3,000. Urban development, hunting, and roadkill are the major reasons of death for wild lynxes these days. Brazilians have come up with a creative idea to combat population, that is pollution, and global warming, repopulating mangroves. The project is aimed at reforesting an area equal to 75 football fields in Guanabara Bay. Organizers hope to make the biggest mangrove garden in the country. Mangroves, which usually grow in tropical regions, are essential to maintaining water quality and clarity. They filter and trap sediments, heavy metals, and other pollutants. Mangrove forests are also able to store 3 to 4 times more carbon than other forests.
A mesmerizing hot air balloon festival has got on the way in the U.S. state of New Jersey. The sky was littered with nearly 100 beautifully colored hot air balloons in different shapes, captivating every viewer. The awe-inspiring event brought together COVID-wary citizens to experience joy and jubilation amid health restrictions. Pleasant weather made the experience all the more enjoyable. The 38th annual New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning is likely the largest outdoor entertainment event in the tri-state area since the pandemic began.
Nostalgia is in the air in Paris as the streets of the city are enlivened, that is, with old vehicles. The French capital has hosted an annual parade called Summer Crossing of Paris. It brought together over 700 vintage cars, motorbikes, buses, and tractors from all over Europe. The route started from a Vincennes castle east of Paris and ended in the southwest of the city. Drivers crossed the iconic monuments such as the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe.
It is extraordinary because the automobile industry heritage and the Parisian architectural heritage, which is obviously absolutely fabulous, echo each other. We are driving through all of Paris's most beautiful squares.
The 14th version of the event drew hundreds of enthusiastic visitors from across France. People were asked to wear masks and keep social distancing because of COVID-19. Tehran Municipal
municipality has inaugurated an art garden that puts on display Iran's art and culture. As Youssef Jalali reports, the cultural facility aims to reconnect visitors with Iran's rich past amid increasing preoccupation with modern lives.
Sit back and enjoy the beauty of Iran's ancient culture. In Kushk Art Garden, located in the heart of Tehran, visitors get to learn about Iran's music, literature, painting, and calligraphy, far from the hustle and bustle of modern life. Kushk hosts Iranian artists who create masterpieces that have their roots in thousands of years ago.
Miniature painting has been around in Iran since thousands of years ago. In miniature, we paint flat images with a myriad of details. We avoid adding shades to make it as flat as possible, since in the past, Iranians believed that divine light gives shape to everything.
Metal engraving first stepped into existence 7,000 years ago in Iran. It is the art of incising decorations and metals. In this workshop, I will be available every day for visitors to see how I can turn metals into beautiful handicraft. Kushk is part of a bigger project dubbed Art Garden. The cultural complex consists of an art lake, poem and literature house, music house, and Kushk garden, each trying to promote an aspect of Iran's culture. Tehran municipality says it inaugurated the peaceful place, for it says cultural identity has been overshadowed by modern technology.
This precious place was a much-needed initiative to preserve the Iranian art and culture. As time goes by, technology gets more and more intertwined with our daily lives, and our genuine culture slips into oblivion. We need to have such cultural centers that safeguard our cultural heritage.
The Art Garden is situated on Abbasabad Hills in downtown Tehran. In recent years, the area has turned into a tourist attraction that houses structures that combine modern technology with ancient culture, such as this large pedestrian overpass called Tabiat Bridge, and the Middle East's largest planetarium, dubbed Mina Dome.
Kushk will be the last piece of Tehran's art garden, and will be a hotspot for a range of cultural activities, all aiming to revive the ancient Iranian art and culture, which experts believe have become a lost piece in today's hectic life. Youssef Jalali, Tehran.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the concept of contentment in Islam. Please join with us. Today, Thursday, is the 25th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of the month of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open the Holy Quran and listen to the recitation of verse 20 of chapter Al-Hadid.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I'lamu annama al-hayatud dunya la'ibu wa lahu wa zinatu wa tafakhurun bainakum wa takathurun fil amwali wal awlad كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Know that the life of this world is but amusement and diversion and adornment and boasting to one another and competition in increase of wealth and children. Like the example of a rain whose resulting plant growth pleases the tillers. Then it dries and you see it turned yellow. Then it becomes scattered debris. And in the hereafter is severe punishment and forgiveness from Allah and approval. And what is the worldly life except the enjoyment of delusion?
La ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Since love for the mundane world is the origin of all sins and the springhead of all errors, the blessed verse presents a telling depiction of the worldly life, its different stages and the motives demanding each stage. The five cycles of human life consist of neglect, amusement, luxury, boasting, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children.
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around. I miss the time you were around.
The concept of contentment in Islam. In the present world, man's greatest good fortune lies in his remaining a thankful servant of God. Only that person may become a thankful servant in the real sense who possesses this inner contentment. According to the hadith, the Prophet said, "Become content and then you will become the most thankful servant of God." Contentment gives men the blessing of a heart at peace. Those who are not content either are eventually consumed by greed. And when individuals succumb to greed, they cannot remain content, whatever the circumstances. They always keep complaining about one thing or another. A feeling of contentment enables a person to rise above trivialities and live in higher realities. In short, he practices simple living and high thinking.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with contentment and the effects of contentment in our daily lives. For people to live a content life, to be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people should be, for example, should be lazy. No, all people, all governments, all political authorities, okay, all of them are expected, okay, to do their best in order to meet the needs of people and to provide them with good life, with a good lifestyle. However, people, as individuals, okay, shouldn't be excessively content with gaining more and more or buying more and more, such that it would lead to preferring this worldly life to the desires and the instructions as we have received them in Islamic instructions. In this connection, it must be indicated that there's a piece of hadith in that al-qana'atu malun la yanfad. Contentment is a property that wouldn't finish. Okay, we find that contentment, which is a moral trait, okay, is being regarded as a kind of property. Okay, it means that those people who are really after receiving contentment can reach it, can achieve it. And Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha indicated that kafa bil qana'ati malikan wa bi husn al-khulq na'iman. It's enough that contentment is like a king, and good temperedness is a good moral virtue.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
One question: how to achieve qana'ah, self-contentment? One answer: knowing the wisdom beneath the difference in providence. Among the wisdoms behind the reason why Allah the Glorified and Exalted decreed different amount of sustenance and rank between a slave and the other slaves is to establish a dynamic in human's life on this earth to enable exchanging of usefulness, to create economic activities, and so that human could help one another in giving service and merit. Allah the Glorified and Exalted decreed, which can be translated as, it is they who distribute the mercy of your Lord. It is we who have distributed their livelihood among them in the life of this world, and have raised some above others in rank that some of them may harness others to their service. Your Lord's mercy is better than all the treasures that they hold. Chapter Az-Zukhruf, verse 32.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see. When you feel you've lost it all, when you don't know who's your friend or foe, you wonder why you're so alone. Worry ends when faith begins. Don't be sad by what you see. It's true, life has its miseries. The one thing's always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Now, speaking about the effects of lack of contentment on society, we reach to this point. Lack of contentment among citizens is an idle wind that blows the society no good. It promotes the culture of greed, cheating, and other social vices, like examination, malpractice, fraud, and embezzlement of public funds. It promotes corruption and the get-rich-quick style of life. It makes those entrusted with leadership to embezzle public funds meant for community development.
Surah
Psychologists tell us that we have to break the habit. And before psychologists, religion tells us, by the way. All this is mentioned in our hadiths. Religion, psychology, both tell us that you need to stop the habit of acquiring goods and products to make yourself feel more content. Let's say I'm not satisfied with my car. Naturally, what do I end up doing? I start thinking, okay, let me get the car that will satisfy me. I'm not satisfied with my job. Let me get the job that pays more. I'm not satisfied with my house. Let me get a house that satisfies me. Usually we fall into this habit of trying to make ourselves satisfied through getting products. We need to understand that no matter how much you continue this habit, you will never actually feel fully satisfied. So what we need to do, we need to teach ourselves to actually be content with what I have. Ask yourself, what is the source of dissatisfaction in your life? If you don't feel content with your car, why? Examine the root cause. Why don't you feel content with your car? Treat the root, treat the cause, then you will find contentment and happiness in your life. What is it that's bothering you? What is it that's bothering you? If your car is functional, it works. Okay, sure, there are better cars out there. If this is the source of dissatisfaction, ask yourself, why? Why am I dissatisfied about a piece of car? Why? Why am I here on earth in the first place, my dear brothers and sisters? Too often we forget. Most of us, do you know how we live in this life? I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a final exam, and this month in May is the month of exams for a lot of college students and high school students. Let's say you go to your final exam. That will determine your career. You go to your examination hall. You have 1 hour to take the exam. The professor comes. He distributes the exams. And then he says, you have 60 minutes to take this exam. Then you see some of the students. One of the students, he pulls out his pen. And he's trying to take his exam. And he tells the one sitting next to him, look at my pen. So shiny and fancy. It looks wonderful. His friend takes out another pen. He says, no, my pen looks nicer than your pen. And then a third one takes out a full box of pens. He says, no, I've got 20 pens. And they're bickering and arguing about who has the nicest pen when suddenly the 60 minutes are over. Now you think this is a silly example, right? This is us, my brothers and sisters. This is life.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي
شكراً يا ربي شكراً.
That was all for today's special. So we'll continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.